Good morning, everybody. So, the big question, who am I? My name is Andreas Schneider. I'm a Samba team member and work for Red Hat on Samba and also on other projects. Like I'm a little bit involved in free IPA. I work on the SSH library, a unit testing framework called CMocker, and a file synchronizer called CSync. Yeah, so that's enough about me. Let's start. Do you remember this? So running your application is like playing Tetris. A new tile appearing is like an event. For example, user input or a network packet coming in. Rotating and placing a tile in Tetris is like combining your algorithms, for example, to process a network packet. Yeah? So, a space here in Tetris is like a bug in your application. And what you want is, you don't want to have spaces. In Tetris, the goal is to have a line clear and no spaces at all. So in your application, this means that you correctly process, for example, a packet. So the goal is to play the perfect Tetris game. No spaces, which means that you don't have any bugs in your test, in your application. So you should test your code. If you don't test your code, something like this will happen. Okay, what is this talk about? Is this about Tetris? No. Is this about Samba? The answer is not no. This talk is about the most amazing infrastructure in the free software world, which I think is the Samba self-test suite. So especially this talk is about a new project, which is called CREP. And CREP makes the best parts of the Samba self-test suite available to everyone in the Unix world. So why do you need CREP? Let's assume you have a client and a server application, which requires Unix accounts, and it requires a user change when you log in, for example, to switch to that user. An example would be, a simple example, a tester as an SSH client and a server. So what are the issues if you test something like that? A lot of servers require to run on privileged ports. To open a privileged port, you need to be root. So that's one problem. Some applications or some software needs a special network set up with several machines and several servers which interact with each other. So you need several machines to achieve that. That you can test it on all of these machines. You need the same user account on each of the machines. And often, like SSH server or the Samba server need to be able to switch to the user who is connecting. So you need to be root to be able to switch to the user. So what you really want, especially as a developer, you want that everything runs on just one machine, your development machine. You want that everything you need runs as the normal user, the user you are logged in. You want to run, if possible, without any network interfaces, so it should work on every machine which is out there, even on build machines and maybe in contained environments and so on. So what you simply want to do as a developer and make it easy for others to run your test suite is you just want to call make test. Which is pretty easy. So what is CREP? So here is a long explanation. The most important part is the heart of CREP consists of three libraries you can preload to any executable. To make this short in one sentence, CREP is like the matrix for applications. So what is preloading? Preloading is a feature of the dynamic linker. It is available on most Unix systems, so BSD, Linux, OS X. it loads a user-specified shared library before all other libraries. The library to preload you can define with an environment variable. And the symbols of this library you specify are bound first before all other symbols from other shared libraries. More details you can about this you can find in the main page for ld.so. Here is an example. So the linker, if you use LD preloading and you start an application, the linker first looks if the function is available in your current application. If not, it goes and checks are there preloaded libraries and loads them and checks if there is the symbol you are looking for. And after that, it goes to all of the linked libraries of your application. And this is done in a linking order. You can, if you run LDD on an application or library, you can see against which libraries it is linked, and you see the order on which it will resolve the symbols. If you want to know how this really works and understand it better, you can run, for example, ls with ld underscore debug equals symbols. Then you can see how symbol loading is done, and if you preload, then you can really see what the linker is doing and in which order it is doing. So an example is if your application, uses a function open, and we start the application, then it first looks, is the open function available in my application? No, it isn't. Then it looks, is it available in the preloaded library? If yes, then it binds the symbol. The open call is also available in the libc library. So as we already bound the symbol open from the preloaded library, the symbol from the libc library will not be bound. So more or less what we do here is we override this open function with our preloaded library. CRAP consists of three libraries you can preload. One is SocketWrapper, which fakes socket communication, NSSWrapper, which has artificial user groups, and also you can fake DNS name resolution, and UIDWrapper fakes privilege separation. So let's look at the wrappers in detail. So SocketWrapper is a library which redirects all network communication to happen over Unix socket. It supports IPv4 and IPv6 socket and address emulation. This means that if you run your application with SocketWrapper, it thinks that it is doing IPv4 or IPv6, but what we make it think it's working like a normal application, or it's working in normal mode, but we redirect everything through Unix socket. And this way we are able to set up and emulate a complete network. SocketWrapper has also the ability to capture network traffic in the PCAP format. So this is really great. If you want to debug it, you can open the PCAP file with Wireshark and then go through the network traces. The idea of the first incarnation of SocketWrapper has been written by Yelmer in 2005, and the idea was to run our SMB client against the SMB server to do simple testing. And from there it started to evolve and we got more wrappers. So SocketWrapper nearly wraps all libc functions which are responsible for socket communication. And I listed the most important ones here. As it is still in work in progress, so what was needed for our MIT Kerberos work was support for IP packet info and receive message. We finished that on Monday. The next thing what we need in Socket Wrapper, especially to test the new DCE RPC infrastructure, is support for FD passing and send message and receive message for multi-channel. And yeah, we need more tests. So let's have a simple demo that you can understand it a little bit better. So I've created a temporary directory, and now I start the netcat command, and I preload socket wrapper, as you can see, and I define with a variable socket wrapper dir the temporary directory. This is the directory where all Unix sockets will be created. Then I define a default interface for it, which is the last part of the IP address, which is 10. That's normally needed if you bind to the wildcard address. Then now we bind to the 10 at the end. And if you bind to the wildcard address, it will be bound to the same address. And as you can see, I'm opening this on port 7. And port 7 is a privileged port. You normally need root access to it. But I'm just a normal user. So now I start the server here, and it is listening. Now I go to the other window. And here now we set up a client. So we preload the socket wrapper again, set the directory to the same directory, temporary directory, use a different default interface. Here it is 100. And in addition here, I say, please write me a pcap file. And now I also start NC and say connect to the IP address of the server on port 7, as you can see above. And if I start this now, then you can see that the client is connected and it is working. So this is just on my machine with a fake network. You are able to set up multiple servers in this network, clients, several clients, and run them against different servers. Okay, the next wrapper is NSS wrapper. It wraps the name service switch functions. So with socket wrapper, you can have artificial user accounts and information about users and groups. You can also fake network name resolution. If you combine this with socket wrapper, you have fully working network environment. And the nice thing is that we also allow to load NSS modules, so you are able to test NSS modules with this. NSS wrapper wraps most of the NSS switch functions, as you can see here, get pwnum, get group names, init groups, and all of this. And then the network functions like get adder info, get name info, and such stuff. What's on the to-do list is we would like to also have support for hosts NSS switch modules. This is needed that we can use our fake DNS server in our test environment. This is on the to-do list. So let's look at NSS wrapper. I have on this machine, I have a user which is called Bob. And I have created a PassVD file with information. There is a user Bob in there and a user root. And as you can see, Bob has in this PassVD file a different UID than on the system. And there is also a group file I created with users and root. If I now load NSS wrapper and define where the PassVD file and the group file is, and now I say, please get me information about the user Bob, then you can see, so this is the system. This is my real system, right? And this is the faked account out of these two, of the PassVD and the group file. And as you can see, the UID is different, a different home directory is defined, and also the bash is different. So with this, you can create users, create groups, and also switch to these users which are available here. Get all in the information fake out of just these two files. Then I've also created a hosts file, and you see information in there. Now, so here I preload the NSS wrapper again, define where the host files is, and then say, please give me the IPv6 address of test.crep.org. And what you can see here is that it is returning the IP address defined in this host file. So here I can, it also supports aliases, and this is the same format as you have in the host file. So there is a man page for hosts, for the host files, and if you follow that and add all the information in there, then exactly this is returned. And so here you can set up for all the IP addresses you defined or use with socket wrapper, you can also define DNS names, and then network resolution is working as you expect. So the last wrapper we have is a UID wrapper, and UID wrapper allows you to do UID switching and this as a normal user. If you preload UID wrapper, you can start any application and make it believe it is running as root, but it isn't. So there is a special feature in glibc. So you can also do user and group switching only for the local thread. And we also implemented this in UID wrapper, and on Linux this is available. There are some systems where this feature doesn't exist, like Solaris, where you just have the normal calls, but it's working really great, and we also have tests for this that the threading stuff works correctly like it is defined in the glibc. For this feature, UID wrapper has been completely rewritten. I mean, all these wrappers already existed in the Semba source code before, and we used them for a long, very, very long time, but it wasn't, we were not able to use this with any other binary from the system. And with LD preloading, it is possible that you run this with any application which is installed in your system. It wraps all the set UID, set EUID calls, get UID, GID, set groups and get groups calls to make this possible. For that, I have a really simple demo. So as you can see here, I'm just a normal user, and if I preload UID wrapper, enable it and say, hey, your ID wrapper, I want to be root. And now I call ID, tells me, hey, you are root. So this way, your application, which requires root privileges, thinks it is root, can do all the user switching which is needed to perform its operation like in a normal environment, but everything is faked up here. So this is the way, or these are with the combination of all of these wrappers, we are able to run several Samba servers, the main controller, join members to it. It's just our make test infrastructure. And because of this, every developer just has to call make test to run a few the complete test suite, and this encourages people to test their code much more easily, instead of if you have to set up several virtual machines to test a feature that's complex and hard, and people then sometimes don't do it. But if you have it in such a simple way, then you get normally a much better quality of the patches people are doing, because it's tested correctly. So the question is, how is CWrap tested? All the wrappers are tested with a unit testing framework called CMocker. In each library, you can just call make test, and then the test suite is run. All wrappers have, in the meantime, a code coverage above 75%. And if we implement a new feature, then always we have normally a test for that. The code coverage is going up as we're adding more tests, and with each feature or bug we find, we add more tests, and that's really great. There is a nightly build for all the wrappers on different platforms we support. At the moment, it's Linux, BSD, and OpenSolaris. There is also a testing dashboard where you can look at tests. And I mean, as we wrap here glibc functions, I found several bugs in glibc. So I would say we have better glibc testing than glibc itself or socket wrapper. Everything we wrap, we test. And if I run this against glibc, it revealed several bugs. And if you look at the dashboard of socket wrapper, you can see that one test is failing on 32-bit, and that's a bug in glibc. Yeah, so the supported platforms are Linux, BSD, and Solaris. I've started also to port it more or less to Mac OS X, but it wasn't this relevant to get it done for Samba for now. If I find some time, I will try to get full support for OS X too. So. Well, who uses CWrap? Well, the Samba project uses it. I think 4 weeks ago, the CWrap code was committed to the Samba branch, and in the meantime, we fully run Samba on CWrap, and the work Günther and I were doing for MIT Cerebro support, this required CWrap to be in place, else we wouldn't be able to do that. A colleague of mine, Nalin, tries to write tests for MIT Cerebros at the moment. So he helped to identify bugs and request features. So we implemented them before Günther and I started the MIT Cerebros work, which was really helpful. I started to write tests in libssh so that I can test libssh against the OpenSSH server easily. And SSSD or the free IPA project also wants to use CWrap, but we haven't started to use it yet. Yeah, so here is the link to the website. You can go there. There is a learn more button, and behind the learn more button is a link to a LWN article, which explains this also again in details. And you can also go to the IRC channel if you want to talk to us. There is the discussion is done on the Summer Technical mailing list, and there is a Baxilla. Yeah. So here are the links again for the CREP and the unit testing framework which is used. Questions? Hi.
So I remember that a while ago I was playing with LD preloads in OpenSSH because I was trying to wriggle my way out of a very restrictive network with SSH, and at that point at least, SSH was trying really hard to avoid running if you try to preload anything interesting like, I don't know, socket open or something like that. So I'm not sure, I haven't tried in a while, so it might have changed already again, but that was an SSH update that enabled that, that really, really annoyed the heck out of me because it broke my nice tunnel. Okay, fair enough. Seemed to work.
Any more questions?
So this sets up as a key server with socket wrapper, generates keys for it, defines it, everything in the thing, creates a config file, points it to it, and as you can see, it locked in. Here you can see that this server on the socket wrapper. It's working. So the thing is, with LD preloading and loading the symbols, there are some pitfalls which I run into. So I thought, okay, I do it in a nice way. I create an init function and load all the functions I need from glibc at once. But then I started GDB and GDB stopped working. So you need to bind the symbols the moment you need them the first time. If you load them all at once, GDB and Valgrind doesn't work. I don't know, I haven't found out why this is the case, but I needed to rewrite a lot of stuff because yeah, when you need the open call, then you need to load it from glibc and bind the symbol at this moment where with dlopen and dlsym. Else it doesn't work. So there are some pitfalls if you do preloading and implement the wrappers that you don't run into strange problems.
So how about compiling the CREP stuff into the actual project? Would that be difficult? Is it possible?
No. Not anymore. So, I mean, there is no need to compile it into it. With preloading, you just load library.
No, so I'm considering something like Android where you have, where you don't have LD preload access, you don't have root. Something like this would be quite useful for a root application for Android.
Are you sure? Because, I mean.
So, as far as I know, Android doesn't support.
How did Luke do it? Luke reverse engineered the Mali driver and it's on Android platform and he wrote a LD preload wrapper. So I think it is somehow available.
Okay. Now look, from what I read, you didn't have, or there was no LD preload support on Android unless you had a rooted phone.
No, I'm curious, regardless about the preload stuff, could you comment on the original questions? Would it be possible to insert it into the project? It just made me curious when you asked it.
Yeah, then you need to do it the way like Samba did it before. So we had a wrapper and undefined all the functions, and defined them, define open as srep open. I think you would be able to do that if dev it out in the socket wrapper, create a header file to do that, then you can do it the old way and link it against it. But then you need the source code. If it is a binary blob, how?
Any more questions?
Yeah, and the nice thing here with LD preloading is it works with every binary you have. You don't need the source code for it to run it.
All I remember the Soxifier package used to have a script for dummies to do the LD preloading, so you could go Soxify some command to make a network connection. I just wonder if it's worth having a script for dummies so that if you want to do multiple wraps on one application, then you know you don't have to know how to set the LD preload variable for multiple libraries. You could just say, you know, wrap with this password file, and that would automatically enable the NSS preload and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it would be a trivial idea that would be, you know, maybe a 50 line script, but I think it would make it usable for people who don't understand the technicalities.
Yeah, we could do that. But what you should do is really to integrate it in your, if you have a project which does client and server communication, you should integrate it into your make test that is automatically run. So here, this is the socket wrapper source code. And I can just call make test. And we have implemented Echo server. So each test sets up Echo server, then we connect to the Echo server, check that tests are, all the functions are running correctly, shuts it down again, sets it up again. So we have TCP and UDP tests and always set up a completely new test for that. At the moment, this is done in C and not scripted.
I guess most developers who would use this in testing would have enough understanding to be able to do it. But to try it the first time and lower the barrier to entry,
it could be worth
having that.
Yeah,
we should
add some simple scripts for that.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
Any more questions? Seem to be satisfied, so then thank you very much.